Let's remember these requests. Let's remember this. Amen. Bless you, Sister Amy. Remember her request. Any others? Bless you, Brother Gene. Appreciate that. Just remember these requests. Brother Vernon Roark did have his surgery this week. He had a triple bypass surgery, so let's continue to pray for him while he heals. And remember Joe and Valley Roark this morning as well. I saw them yesterday afternoon, and brother Roark is just he's really getting weak. He's getting to the point where he struggles to even talk, and so let's remember them in our prayers. All hearts free? If so, we want to look to the Lord in prayer. Invite you to pray this morning. Brother Ernie, would you lead our prayer, please?
Lord, to do in everything that we do, teach us to love you, Lord, and live in you one more time. finished his residency for his medical training and came back here. And you all took me and I look around here and there are a lot of faces that aren't here, but there are still a lot of faces who are when I first came here. And you all put up with my contrary ways and loved me. Christian through the years. I've been privileged to have my children and they grew up in this church and in time got under conviction and they were saved and now I look out and my little granddaughter is coming and it's like it's coming full circle. And I've been privileged at times to teach Sunday school and it's been a privilege to do that. And I've been privileged to be able to come up in the choir and sing and
you to stand and let's do number 136. I have a Savior who loves me, I know. He's guiding and guarding wherever I go. He walks beside me along the bright way. His love grows sweeter each day, sweeter each day, sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter along the bright way, sweeter each day, sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter each day. He is so precious while walking with me. He bears every burden and gives victory. All through the garden with him I can say, his love grows sweeter each day, sweeter each day, sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter along the bright way, sweeter each day, sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter. If you are burdened with sin's awful strife, just come to the Savior, he'll give you new life. Then you can say as you travel the way, his love grows sweeter each day, sweeter each day, sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter.
each day, sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter each day.
Well, I appreciate the good songs this morning and thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. If you'd like to read with me today, turn to Exodus chapter 17. And I want to begin reading there with verse 1. Exodus chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. And all the congregation of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and say, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon a rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And that's reading there from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 for a scripture reading. And I have had this thought on my mind now, on my heart for the last three or four days. I appreciate the fact that the Lord is willing to speak to my heart, because if he wasn't, I wouldn't have a clue what to tell you today. But the Lord gave me this message, and I want to use the title, "Still Drinking from the Well." There's something in these verses of Scripture that I read before you, a couple of things that I want us to look at. And one of these is that here in this situation, the children of Israel had a thirst. They had a thirst. They had a natural thirst. They were needing water. And God had a method of providing that for them. God had a plan for giving them this water. They were in a in the wilderness of Sinai here. They were in a very parched desert type setting, and they were thirsty. And our bodies, we all know this, from our own cravings, if nothing else. But our bodies have great need of water. I mean, we have to have water. We really, honestly, our physical body can't make it very long without it. We have to have that to keep us going. And I know that many of you, I thought about so many different things in this. I thought about when I was a boy, we would go out, myself and my older brother, and we would take off on our bicycles in the summer when we were out of school, and we would go down the street and we would meet up with some of our other friends, and we would go play on those hot summer days, and it seemed like that we would stay out there and play just as long as we could before we would go back to the house and get a drink of water. And I mean, we would be so thirsty, we'd go back finally and get a drink of water, and you know, what a refreshing thing it was to have something to quench your thirst when you're really thirsty like that. And I believe these people, you know, they weren't in this situation. It wasn't like we are today. We have access to water. I mean, we go in our houses and all we've got to do is turn on the faucet and get a drink of water. And we don't rarely, I guess, get thirsty. Really, I mean, really get thirsty. But these people that we're reading about here, the children of Israel, they were in a situation where they were very thirsty. They needed water. We read here that they were at the point where they needed to get water, or them and their young ones and their livestock, they were going to perish. I mean, they were in desperate need of water. And we can find also, if you look in Numbers chapter 20, you'll find a similar situation where they were in Kadesh, and there they were seeking water again. And that is the chapter that tells us about. Here in Exodus 17, it tells us that God had commanded Moses to go and stand before that rock and strike it, and that water would come out there for the children of Israel to quench their thirst. And in Numbers chapter 20, it tells us of the situation where God had told Moses to go to that rock and speak to it, and it would send forth water for them to drink. And we read there that Moses didn't obey God and what he told him. He went there and he hit the rock. And because of that sin, he wasn't allowed to take the children of Israel all the way into Canaan, into the promised land. God punished him for that. But the point that I wanted to make in that is, if you look at, and I want you to keep in mind what I said I wanted to use for a title for the message, Still Drinking from the Well. If you look in this account here in Exodus chapter 17, there when they were at Rephidim, if I'm pronouncing that right, and then in Numbers chapter 20 when they were at Kadesh, we see that Israel had a continual need for this liquid sustenance. They had a continual need for water. They needed it here. We have the account there where they needed it again. And so we have a need of natural things that we need to have over and over and over again, because we could take a good cold drink of water today, and before very many hours passed, our body would have need of another drink of water. And it's something that that can't satisfy for very long. If you get out like these people were in a hot, dry climate, in a land that's parched, you're going to need it probably a lot more often than what you will in other situations. But the fact is that the natural water that we need, we just continue to need it. We continue to need it, and we will. Our bodies are going to demand that and need that all the days of our life in order to keep us going. But I want to talk to you today about a well that never runs dry. I want to talk to you today about a drink of water that you can have that will satisfy you so much that you won't ever be thirsty again. And the Bible teaches us about that eternal well of water. If you go back, if you remember in 1 Kings, about chapter 17, I believe it is, of 1 Kings, Brother Wheat may be getting ready to come up to this in his Sunday school lessons here before too long, or maybe you've already passed it. I don't think you have yet. But in 1 Kings 17, I believe it is, where we read about Elijah, where there was a great famine in the land. I mean, there hadn't been any rain for about 3 to 3.5 years. And everything was getting dry, and things were just drying up. And God had instructed Elijah to go and dwell by a brook. The brook was called Cherith. And God told Elijah to go and dwell by that brook. And he said, I will send the ravens down there to bring you meat, to bring you food, and you can drink from the water there in the brook. And so Elijah went down there, and that's what he did. He did exactly what God told him. And he went down there, and he tarried and stayed by that brook Cherith there. And he did eat the food that the ravens brought him. And he did continually drink of that brook, but then there was something that happened. It dried up. There wasn't any rain. There wasn't any water coming down. And it dried up and got to the point where Elijah, he didn't have anything to drink anymore. And so God had to send him somewhere else. He had to send him there to Zarephath, to the house of a widow woman. And God said, I have commanded her to sustain you. And so Jesus said this, and it's found in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now we're talking about here in these verses that have been read, we're talking about a situation, as I said a moment ago, where they had a need for a natural drink of water. They needed their natural thirst to be quenched. You know, to some people in the world today, sadly enough, that's all that their religion is. Their religion is nothing but external. With many people, their religion is nothing more than what they do on the outside. That was the case with the Pharisees that we read about in the Bible. If you read the 23rd chapter of Matthew, you find out that Jesus rebuked them for their beliefs because he said, all that what you believe and what you practice, all it does is take care of what's on the outside. And I really believe that the water that we read here about in the 17th chapter of Exodus and in the 20th chapter of Numbers, and I believe Jesus used this allegorically in some scriptures that I want to talk about a little bit later on, but I think in a lot of ways what he was talking about was that there is only one thing that will satisfy the soul. There are a lot of things that will satisfy the flesh, but they won't satisfy it for very long because you've got to have it again, and you've got to have it again. And so, you know, we need something that goes beyond that. We need that which will satisfy the very soul. And in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus spoke a blessedness upon a specific type of thirst. Something that I believe was a greater thirst. And you know, I told you earlier how that we used to go out and play when we were kids and get thirsty. I'm sure that you all understand that your throat gets dry and you get thirsty and you're needing a drink. But there was a day in my life when I began to have a much greater thirst than my natural thirst. I began to have a thirst. I began to desire something because my soul was thirsting. And in the 5th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." And I hope if you are here today and you're lost, I hope that you will have a thirst that will go way beyond just your desire for natural things. You know, people today are just too caught up and too concerned in the things that are going to perish, in the things that are just going to last for a little while, and then they're going to be gone. You know, something that I learn about this life more and more every day, something that becomes clearer to me every day, that I realize the longer that I live and the further that my journey goes, I realize more and more all the time that I'm not going to be here very long. I'm not going to be here very long. I'm not going to stay in this world very long. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And folks, listen, our life here, I remember one time I was considering, this was when I lived in Illinois, and I was considering getting a different job. And I was talking to this man about it, and I was telling him what I was going to do, and he said, "Well, but you know what?" He said, "That might be temporary." And you know what I said? "Well, friend, so is life." Our lives here are temporary. I mean, everything that we do here and everything that we have here is temporary. Everything that pertains to this world is temporary. The drink of water that Israel got here when Moses smote that rock, the drink of water that they got to quench their thirst was temporary. There was a time not far out in the future when they had to do that again. It had to be supplied and quenched again. But the Bible says that God can satisfy the longing soul. So I pray today that you will have that great thirst, that you will have that which causes you to hunger and to thirst after righteousness, to hunger and to thirst after that only God can give you, because there are, sadly enough, there are going to be far too many people, I'm afraid, that hunger and thirst after the temporal things of life. And folks, one of these days we're coming down to the end of our way, aren't we? You know, when I reach that place, when I come into that region where I'm about to draw my final breath, where I'm about to depart this place, I'm about to leave time and go into eternity, I'm glad I've got something that's eternal. I'm thankful that I have eternal life. Jesus, when he saves us, he gives us eternal life. And we never perish. Those that are saved by God's grace, we never perish. Jesus, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, he said, "My Father that gave them to me is greater than all, and there's no man that's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." We have been given eternal life. If you could have it today and lose it tomorrow, it wouldn't be eternal, would it? We are secure in the Lord. We're still drinking from the well. In the 4th chapter of the Gospel according to John, Jesus was taking a journey. He was leaving Judea and going into Galilee. And on his journey, he had to pass through Samaria. He had to go that way. And the Lord himself, when he was passing through Samaria, he had a need of some natural water. He got thirsty. The Bible says that he was wearied from his journey, And he came to the parcel of ground there that Jacob had near to where Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus there sat down at the well. And here come a Samaritan woman there to the well. And I thought about, you know, all the times that I've read that passage of scripture and thought about that. When I read it yesterday, I thought, what a wonderful time for that woman to come to that well to draw water. What a great time for her to come there, because Jesus was there. He was passing by. He stopped there. And when she came to the well, he asked her for water. Jesus said, give me to drink. Well, he told her there, he said, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, if you knew who I am, if you knew who you were here conversing with, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you a drink of living water. Now, you know, the water in that well was deep, and in fact, she even told Jesus, you don't even have anything to draw with. You don't even have anything to get down into that deep well and get a drink of water out of that well. But that water that was in that well, as good as it no doubt was, that deep well no doubt had good, cold, refreshing water down in it. But as good as it was and as able as it was to quench the natural thirst, Jesus told this woman, if you drink of this water, you are going to thirst again. And friends, listen, I'll tell you this. If you try to satisfy your spiritual needs with anything less than a drink of living water, it's not going to hold up. It's not going to last. It's not going to satisfy you. You're going to thirst again until you get you a drink from the deep well of Christ. Until you have a drink of that spiritual water, there's nothing that's going to satisfy your soul. Nothing. But the Lord told her, when he said, whoever drinks of the water of this well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that he has to give, in the sixth chapter of John, Jesus used the same example concerning bread. He spoke about that time when God sent manna down from heaven upon the children of Israel. God actually rained bread down upon them from the sky and left it there in the fields for them to eat, to sustain them. But he used the analogy of the fact that he is the true bread that comes down from heaven. And, you know, he even said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They ate this bread that God sent down from heaven, this natural bread. They ate it and they're dead. You know, you and I, we will feed this body as we go through life. We'll feed this body. We'll feed it food. We'll take water and we'll drink water and we'll supply as we go through life of the things that we need in this body. And then at the end of the way, it'll end up dead. It'll die. And that's what Jesus was telling him. Your fathers ate this manna out there in the wilderness and they're dead. But he said, I am the true bread which comes down from heaven. And he said, if any man eats this bread, he will never die. Never die. And so there is a fountain. There is a well from which we can drink. Lost friend, I want you to know something. If you are here today and you hunger and you thirst after righteousness, you know, this. I've told several people here that our water fountain that we have out in the entryway there, that's the best water in Bowling Green. I mean, that water is cold, and I get a drink of it when I'm here. Every service, I go out there and I drink from that fountain. and it quenches my thirst. But listen, lost friend, there is water that you can have today that'll satisfy your very soul if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness today. Jesus has the water that you need. He has the drink of living water. And he gave it to that woman. Now, I don't know how you, I imagine you feel the same way I do. I believe that woman got saved. I believe that Samaritan woman got saved. She asked the Lord to give him that water and those that will come to him. And I mean truly ask him for that and meet the conditions of the gospel. The Lord will give it to you. He won't withhold that from you. God won't withhold his grace from anybody that truly meets his conditions. And so he said that whoever drinks this water from this natural well, they're going to thirst again. But you take a drink of this water that I have to give you, and he said, you'll never thirst again. But you know what'll happen? One drink from the well. Friend, that's all you need. One drink is all you need. You know what I'm convinced of? That you can only get saved once. One time. One drink. Because from there on out, Jesus said there'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, we could go around the room today and we could begin to tell our testimonies. And I haven't been saved nearly as many years as Brother Doss or Brother Lowe or some of these older brethren have been saved. But in the 35 years since the Lord spoke peace to my soul, you know, I took that drink in 1973. This later on this summer will be 36 years. In the summer of 1973, I took that drink of water from that deep well of Christ, and I'm still drinking it today. Amen. And you know what? I don't go back and get another drink and another drink, because I'm just continually drinking. We don't get saved and then go get saved again. We don't take one drink and then, you know, get thirsty and have to go get another drink. We drink from that well once, and Jesus gives us that living water, and it produces a well of water within us that just bubbles up and bubbles up and bubbles up, and we just continue to drink from that well for the rest of our lives and all through eternity. And so the years that I have been saved and the years that others have been saved, no matter how long that it might be saved, from the time that we drink that drink of living water, we continue to drink from the well. It's still, listen, that drink that I had when I was an 18-year-old young man is still satisfying my soul today. It's still quenching my thirst today. It's never gone away. I'll tell you what, there was a fear, there was a torment, there was an awful feeling of being lost that I had in my soul at one time. And you know, since the Lord saved me, I mean, since that very time that he gave me a drink of living water. Now, there have been times when I've become cold. There have been times when I've distanced myself from the Lord. There have been times when I haven't, I know that I haven't been doing exactly what I should have been doing. But you know, from that very moment that God spoke peace to my soul, it has never hurt like that again. I've never felt that condemnation. I've never felt that pain that I had. When the Lord took it away, friends, it was gone. I mean, it was gone. Never to return. And so, you know, my desire And my prayer is that you would drink the living water, that you would know what it is to be saved, that you would be able to read those verses. I'll tell you what, I can read things like that and just get as happy as I can be. There's a well of water in there, and it just keeps bubbling and bubbling and bubbling and springing up to where we never thirst again. It won't dry up. It's not like the brook Cherith. It won't dry up. It won't dry up to where we have to go somewhere else and drink. It'll never run dry. I'd like for us to have a song. I appreciate your attention today, and I hope that I've said something that'll help somebody.
Number 193.
Let's stand and sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. Take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender.
Sing 191.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon's cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Come,
every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial joys in mortal flow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. He with whom thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all thy comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Remember reading there in Luke 16 about that rich man that the Bible said he fared sumptuously every day, had all that he could have possibly wanted to eat or to drink, but he died, was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he began to beg for just a little bit of water on the tip of his tongue to cool his tongue. Never got his thirst quenched with the things of this world. Proverbs 25:25 is cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I'm telling you, the Lord quenched my thirst, satisfied my longing soul. Anyone with a word? Again, I want to ask you to please come back this evening at 6 and hear Brother Carter's message. Pray for the lost. If all hearts are free, we're going to be dismissed. We never close the altar, but we are going to dismiss the service. So stand together if you would. Brother Doss, would you please pray the benediction?